Take your Bible, Psalm 33. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. There's another scripture I want to read to you. That's in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 2. The Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. 15 years ago, my wife and I were about to fly home from the Philippines, and on this very day. And we had been with Dr. Ed Lorena and preached over in Laguna there in San Pedro. And we were over with missionary family Lane Jones, and we were picking up the bicycles and bringing them home. And as we flew into Manila, we're going to leave in a couple days. And, of course, we went out shopping. That's what grandmas do, you know. And we went to the shop there in a big mall, and we were shopping. When we were coming back into the city Garden Hotel there in Manila, a man said to me, he said, "Hey, someone ran into your twin tower with an airplane," my twin tower, in New York. And so I told Marcia, "Why don't you go on up to your room and I'm going to watch a little CNN International and see what in the world's going on." And I sat there for a moment, and all of a sudden the camera went back to the Twin Towers, and another large commercial aircraft slammed into that building. And I ran up to the room and turned on the TV, and all of a sudden that's when the Pentagon was hit by another aircraft, and then the report of a crash in a field in Pennsylvania. Then the news reporter said, "The United States government has halted all aircraft and grounded until further notice." And I thought, we're stuck. We're in the Philippines, and we're not going to be able to get home for a while. And then we find out that over 3,000 people were senselessly killed by 19 militants associated with the Islamic extremist group called Al-Qaeda. They'd hijacked 4 airlines. And for a suicide attack against the United States, 2 planes, of course, went into the Twin Towers. 1 plane went into the Pentagon just outside of D.C., and the 4th plane crashed in the Pennsylvania field. September 11, 2001, at 8:45, on a clear Tuesday morning, American Airlines Boeing 767, loaded with 20,000 gallons of jet fuel, crashed in the 80th floor of a 110-story north tower of the World Trade Center, instantly killing hundreds of people and trapping hundreds above the floors and beneath. 18 minutes later, another plane hit the tower and caused massive explosion, hit it at 60th floor. September 11, 2001 was the deadliest day in the history of New York City firefighters. 343 were killed. 23 paramedics, 23 New York City police officers, and 37 Port Authority police officers. Almost 10,000 others were treated for injuries that were many were severe. The other day I was thinking of all the inconvenience that this radical Muslim terrorists have caused, not just America, but the world. I thought of the billions of dollars we spend in America just on Homeland Security. The cost of those that travel, and disruption of commerce, and the first responders, and on the goes list of all those have been hindered by this stupidity. Today we are in the middle of political strife, not only here but also internationally. Confusion is every place. Unbelievable what we're hearing today on TV. I was at camp for 3 days. I was glad I was camp for 2 days. I don't know who's saying about her, what he's saying about her or whatever, but I'm sure it ain't good. The seeds of hatred in America has been cultivated by race. It becomes a hotbed of fanatical people and religions. You know, it's about time we Christians who love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength and all our mind, throw back our shoulders and double up our fists that are rough with calluses of honest toil and stand up for true fundamentals of the godly Americanism. I don't know about you, but I'm just sick of what's happened in my country. You know, the Bible teaches us that we ought to be patriots. A couple of years ago, I was down in Gadsden, South Carolina. I was preaching in this old church. Church was established in 1771. You remember what happened in 1776, right? Well, this is 1771. And that preacher was a patriot. In fact, they had a price on his head. He'd hide in the swamps. He was a patriot. He told the English government, take a flying leap. Cromwell put a price on his head. Thank God for men like that. Thank God for preachers that stood the test. You know, it's about time we Christians who love the Lord God with all our heart become patriots. Patriotism was the light that burned in the hearts of the faithful in the midnight gloom and the dark ages. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Patriotism was a torch that flamed the Reformation. It was a rock upon which Western civilization was founded. It was our civilization is to survive in these new onslaughts of terrorism without immorality from within. It will be the Christian patriots that will fuel the lamp to truth and provide the morals for our fight of freedom. You see, America has many privileges. But with those privileges come great responsibility. Proverbs chapter 14, 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Our country glorifies immorality. Our country glorifies lying and cheating and stealing and taking advantage of people. Our country now full of racism. Sir Walter Scott struck the note of true Christian patriotism when he wrote, breathe there a man with soul so dead, who never to himself hath said, this is my own, my native land, whose heart hath ne'er within him burned, as home his footsteps he hath turned from wandering on the foreign stand. If such there breathe, go mark him well, for him no minstrel rapture will swell. High though his title, proud his name, boundless his wealth, as wish can claim. Despite those titles, powers, and pelf, the wretch concerned all in self, living shall forfeit fair renown, and doubly dying shall go down to the vile dust from whence he sprung, unwept, unhonored, and unsung. With a man-made creed forgotten, we find common ground in the sublime truth of the old book, God's holy word, in the spirit of those brave men who crossed the seas to search for a free land in which they could worship their God according to dictates of their own hearts. That's why America was formed. We didn't come looking for gold. We didn't come looking for trouble. We came looking for a place that we could preach the Word of God. And that we could live by the dictates of the Word of God. Our freedom was attained by a great price. Our forefathers believed in God, prayed for life and freedom. And the problem today is that very few Americans know the true history of our founding fathers. The liberals have and are at this moment dumbing down our citizenship of this country. They have tried and have successfully rewritten our history until many believe the lies that they write. Few people know about a man named Roger Williams. Roger Williams, a Humber Baptist preacher, persecuted for his belief greatly. So he fled to an island called Rhode Island, the state. There he founded the city Providence. And in Rhode Island's constitution of that state, this Baptist preacher wrote, "Every man should be free to worship God according to his dictates and his own heart." You see, some people don't understand it. We believe the Bible teaches free will. Free will is this, that you can believe God or you don't have to believe God. You can accept Him as His personal Savior. You don't have to receive and accept Him as your Savior. You will pay the price someday when you stand before the Holy God of heaven and you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're burning in hell forever. That's what the Bible says. But you have freedom. You have freedom to believe that. You have freedom to curse God. You have freedom to be immoral. You have freedom to steal and to rob and to cheat. You have freedom to do that. Now, of course, you pay the penalty for that. You go to jail for that. You'll be detained for that. But you have the freedom to do it. And in the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, which we Baptists believe in the free will, we say, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you say no, we'll say we'll pray for you. We probably won't let you alone, but we'll pray for you. We'll try to, as much as we can, get you to ask Jesus in your heart because we know the Bible says there's a day coming that will you'll burn forever and ever and ever. Where the worm dies not, and the torture will always be there. We're here to tell you that. You know, you take the religion of Muslims, and you don't accept their religion, they'll cut your head off. They do not believe in free will. Let me tell you that. Die or conquer. Christianity says, here's a free gift. We offer it to you. Would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Would you come to Christ? Would you trust Him as your Savior? If you don't, that's your choice. Many religions came to Montana and tried to religiousize our Native American. They tried everything they could. Not biblically, but to conquer, almost like the Muslims. Was that right? Absolutely not. Hopefully, I'll tell you right now, the fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist did not go out and conquer other nations. We were there to preach the Word of God and live with peace with all men. Well, we got some stinkers in America that came in and tried to do some stupid stuff that's very wrong. So don't forget the man named Roger Williams. Google him. Find out about the man. Be careful who you're reading from, though. Every man should be free to worship God according to the dictates of his own heart. When Thomas Jefferson and others were forming the Constitution of the United States, they borrowed his principles and inserted it as a part of our Constitution. Too bad. He was a Baptist. Where did it come from? It came from a humble Baptist preacher named Roger Williams. The Bible says, Paul the Apostle wrote to the Church of Rome, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God." That's why that we are very careful how that we treat our police officers. Because they are ordained of God. I tell those guys up at the sheriff's office all the time, I says, "You're ordained as God just as much as I'm ordained to pastor, to preach the Word of God." "No way!" And they say some other words that I won't repeat. And I said, "Let me read you something. Romans 13:1. Look here in my New Testament. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God. The power that be, those the police, that are to be peacemakers, to keep the peace, are ordained of God. We enjoy the benefits of land founded in faith. But ladies and gentlemen, they were baptized in blood. And the dictates of freedom of worship. Liberty mentioned some great ideas in America, and the hub of the very center of the world revolves. I would like to stir your soul and renew your national zeal in a closer walk with God, without which no nation ever succeeded. Every American needs to have a sense of gratitude. One day a year, we celebrate a day called Thanksgiving. It's the fourth Thursday of November. My friend, one day is not enough. Americans should thank God every day that we live in a land of freedom. Let me tell you something. I hear a lot of griping going on. I hear a lot of people saying about America. Let me tell you, she's still a great nation. There are just a few. I was going to say puke, but that's not very nice. There's a few people out there that are just making a lot of trouble for us. Every day we should thank God for the sacrifice of blood and sweat and tears and death of those who took part in multiple thousands of heroic patriots. Had it not been for the soldiers standing before us in the iron hand of fascism and Nazism, we could be goose-stepping to the heels of the stormtroopers and taking our orders from them instead of the Holy Bible and read in our beloved homes. Mein Kampf might have been our textbook. Instead of blending our free voice and singing, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty," we might be hailing and saluting the swastika. And if we do not take our stand today against these crooked politicians that have already sold America out for their gain and their prestige, we're goners. You better be ready to vote November. You better be ready for vote, and you better not vote for somebody who believes in killing babies. If that's the only reason you'd vote, you say, you're worked up. I've lived in this country almost 70 years. I love this country. Many a family member gave their life to keep this country free. And I'm telling you, I don't want to see it go down. Many of you men and women are still in the military, and your husband's in the military. They're not doing it in vain. They're doing it because they have to do it because of the craziness in this world. Let us bow our heads in humility and our hearts in reverence and show our gratitude for a merciful God who has brought us national deliverance in time past and beg mercy in the present day that we live. I was singing that song today and it said that there was no tears in the alabaster cities, and I thought 9/11 brought tears to our country. And if we do not take our stand today, we're goners. Wake up, America. This freedom that we enjoy for these over 2,000 years was not free. It was not free. Secondly, every American should be grateful for righteous birth of our native country. For the most part, our nations of this world, they were born in the blood of plundering and conquest, but not from the America. It was conceived by noble hearts of courageous, righteous men. She was born of holy prayer. I know that there are conflicting reports on how our country came about, but let me be very blunt with you and truthfully, that men came to America were men of dignity and righteousness. But remember, there's always bad. There's always sinners. But Jesus saved us and forgave us, and every civilization have rebels and rabble-rousers. But they are only not, they are not the majority, but they are the ones who cause our hearts to ache. Our nation has now evoked the frown of the Almighty God. Our cause and our course must be such as to get heaven's smile back upon our beloved country. We must keep on the straight and narrow and prayerfully seek the guidance of the Almighty God. If not, our nation will go the way of the other nations into oblivion. It is of the approval of God that makes countries great. Not by the genius of statesmen, not by merely the form of government, not by the energy of its people, but the level of national morals and depths of national faith in God. A writer poemed this, penned this poem. Not Siri ranks with flags unfurled, not armored ships and gird the world, nor hoarded wealth, nor busy mills, not cattle on a thousand hills, nor sages wise, nor schools for law, not boasted deeds in freedom cause. All these may be, and yet the state, in the eye of God, be far from great. The land is great which knows the Lord, whose songs are guided by His word, where justice rules twixt man and man, where love controls in art and plan, where breathing in native air, each should find joy in praise and prayer. Thus may our country, God, be good and great, be God's delight, man's best estate. We have a responsibility. And I'll tell you that America is no stronger than our weakest citizens. And the truth puts a tremendous responsibility upon us. The philosopher and humorist Will Rogers said, America is a great country, but you can't live in it for nothing. The forces of anti-Americanism, the anti-Christianity, are at work in our beloved land today. It grieves me. Most of their work is sinister and undercover. They're like the leaven that you cannot see in the flour of the bread. But the leaven of atheism is found in the high places as well as in low. No nation ever survived a moral collapse. Listen to me now. A nation never survived a moral collapse. And I'll tell you what, we are morally bankrupt. We're in trouble. When Rome is in its zenith and her power and glory, sin started to eat as a canker in the heart of her national morals. Her politicians became weak, flabby, and spineless. She became morally weak and spiritually depraved one night. While Roman politicians were engaged in sinful, drunken orgies in the resort town of Pompeii, the fire of God's judgment was raging not far distant from the bowels of the famous Mount Vesuvius. As night wore on and debauchery became more pronounced in Pompeii, there came a weird, sickening rumble from the adjacent mountain. For years, Vesuvius had been quiet and asleep. But the hour of God's judgment arrived. As the revelers continued their sinful indulgence, Vesuvius quivered like a mighty quake, and the top of that volcano blew off completely away, and surging rivers of flaming molten rock poured down the mountain in a death-dealing torrent. There was no hope to escape. The doors of God's judgment were closed for these Roman renegades. As the lava swiftly overwhelmed the city, 25,000 people were buried beneath the flood of molten rock. This was the beginning of Rome's end as a nation. And it all began because of morals. On and on you could go. You can talk about Egypt. You can talk about Mexico. But I'm telling you, every Christian in these days of confusion and moral crisis has an individual responsibility to God and His country. The Bible clearly states, Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Help us today to understand that there is a place that we as Christians need to be very careful about, and that's our Bible, it's our prayer time, it's our church. God, help us to raise up men and women who'd stand in the gap. Lord God, I pray you to speak to our hearts and our lives and help us, Lord Jesus, to be very careful that we would live by the statutes of the Word of God. And Lord, to not only live by it, but we would know the statute, we would read the Bible. Lord, I beg you, I beg you today you'd speak to our hearts of our people, our church. Lord, as we remember this day is September 11th. This 9/11 day that literally, completely changed our country and the world. Help us, Lord Jesus, to remember that and help us to thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love for us. Dear God, I pray that anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. And boy, I'd sure like to know that today. I'm afraid. I'm afraid what's going to happen. And I want Jesus to be my Savior. You're here today and say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. Why don't you, right there where you're sitting, pray a prayer like this. Say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. You're here today and say, preacher, would you please pray for me? That's me. I need to be saved today. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you. Dear God, I pray you'd keep our country safe. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you're not sure you're saved. You're here today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. But you'd like that, why don't you come up front here with me and let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. That's the most important thing of your life. Let's all stand. Everyone standing. If you have a plan, you're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. If I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that. Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Have you asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins? Come in your heart. Wonderful. You hear today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. I need to do that. Why don't you come? You hear today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to belong. Why don't you come at this time? Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we can serve you. God bless America, land of the free. Lord God, please help our dear brothers and sisters today who are out in the field. They are in the military. They're full time. Help these guys that are in part time and serving at the guard. I pray you bless them. Thank you, Lord, for these who've given their lives to you. Lord, now help us as a church that we would stay strong to the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.